The referee is reaching into their pocket. What is that card going to be? Oh, it's a Joe Willis red card. Uh-oh. That can only mean one thing. It's time for the Get Off My Pitch podcast. I am your host, Eric Paisley. With me tonight is...
John Brennig.
First loss, worst loss, John? We are going to talk about the match against Los Angeles Football Club. John, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
Outside of the soccer world, things are going well. Had a good little spring vacation, beautiful weather. You know, things are rolling.
Yeah, spring is here, and we are going to talk about the match. We're going to talk about who the hardest working. We're going to talk about who the hardest working player was for 15 minutes, and who the MVP was. So, you know, just pick them. We're going to talk about some uncomfortable questions. Going to want to tune in for that one in segment two. John is going to hit us with some stats. We, of course, will tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch. And then in the last section, we will tell you how we did on our pick'ems, how we predicted the score. So we'll go over that. John, let's just get it right into it. Gut check time. What did you think of the match against Los Angeles Football Club?
That was trash. Like, it was funny when it was somewhere between 3 and 4 up. I know people in the Discord started talking about, is this our worst loss? I don't know, what's our worst loss? And then they scored the 5. I was like, this is probably the worst loss we've had. And it felt bad. It looked bad. The scoreline reflected how bad it was. It was just trash. It was horrible, honestly. Nothing worked.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. It was evident after, it was weird because it was after Sam's goal got reversed. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it. It looked like everyone just checked out. Everyone just sort of, okay, all right, we're done. We'll 5 in the back and we'll see how we do. And we'll talk about that, sort of my thoughts on that. All right, John, let's get into some just basics here. Who is the hardest working player on the pitch that night?
I don't know. Just throw a dart and pick someone. I mean, you go with always crowd favorite Alex Meal because Alex Meal did what he did, which was run and cover distance. No, I'm going to give it to Shaq because, look, first of all, the one shot he had that rang off the bar was spectacular. It was a great shot.
That's more than one that he's had several now.
I was going to say he's had 2 or 3 of these ringing shots. Shaq seems to be his shot seems to be just slightly off target, but he's putting these in there, which I like. But he also, I mean, he had an enviable task of guarding Buanga on his side, on that side. And he had to do so after getting a red card that was maybe not the most deserved one, you know what I mean? Early on at like 20 minutes in or so. Mm-hmm. So I feel like he had a tall task and he did put in a good shift. And honestly, he was probably, I know the foot mob ratings don't quite reflect it, but he was probably the most solid player in the back line and the one who contributed the most positive to the game. Not to small shout out to Brett Coleman because he had some good blocks.
Decent.
There were also some errors, but he also had a few highlights himself. So but he's also our third string center back. So, you know, you give him grace.
Yeah. Like I said, he looked like an elongated Landon Donovan. If you put him in a stretching machine, that's what you get.
Yeah.
Why did he have to work so hard, John? Could it be because our midfield was trash last night? You know what? I'm going to save that one for the next segment.
Yes.
My hardest working is Taylor Boyd. I felt like he... Tyler Boyd. I think he...
you fused Taylor and Tyler Washington together on the left-hand side.
You know, that may have helped if we could, because Taylor Washington's defense was trash, but in Boyd's offense was, he was trying, you know, it's like the final third is just not there for him yet.
No.
But again, hardest working. That's the purpose of the award. MVP, anything? You got anything?
My MVP, look, if I have to give it to a player, I'm going to give it to Sam because there were some flashes of brilliance. And again, as a striker, when you're on an island, it's hard to do things. That one series where he dribbled across the box past 4 or 5 defenders, had he had someone open on the right, the way he was going, could have turned into something brilliant. The header, which again, that was a very weak foul. I don't know how often that's going to be given in most cases. But Sam showed some real things of brilliance. However, my real MVP goes to Ben Wright, who I know tweeted about the post-game press conference, which means he stayed up till 11:30 p.m. and had the attention span to still intelligently talk about this game and not just rage quit like most of us did watching
like
the game, but actually try to ask intelligence questions of Gary and Hani at the end. Because, man, I tell you, that had to be hard because it was just frustrating.
Well, this is why Ben Wright is a professional and I'm not.
Right, unlike you and I who would have just not shown up to it.
Right. He's a professional. He's been a professional for many years, and that's the way you do.
I give it to Sam, but I wanted to just shout out to Ben because, man, the patience to have those guys and try to get answers out of Gary after a time like that is
hard. I'll talk a little bit about that. Sam is my MVP. It's 2 weeks in a row. You know what? Let's take a break. Let's reset a little bit because we've got a big section to talk about here.
Yeah.
Take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some very uncomfortable questions. We're going to get some stats for what they are, and we're going to tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch. Stay with us. We are back. All right, John, I'm going to hit you with the first uncomfortable question. First loss of the season. Should we be overreacting to this loss or not?
Hey. Well, here's the thing. You predicted, and I know we'll talk about score predictions later, you predicted that this was going to be an LAFC team out for vengeance, revenge, restart, whatever.
They had to break out
because they had been in a slump. They talked about it being, it's been 308 minutes and it's been the longest thing ever. So of course they doomed us, you know, commentators cursed that they were going to score. So I feel like they came out with a vengeance. Normally I wouldn't throw anything out after one loss, but to me, my biggest worry is the fact that we dropped five and we looked listless and hopeless. There was forays forward, but it just seemed like everyone was it wasn't coordinated. It was so disorganized. It felt like a failure from the start. Like we played the Red Bulls a couple weeks ago. They played a high pressure and yes, their expected goals were higher, but we still tied them and we kept them out. I felt like we saw a similar style from here and we just didn't keep up. I don't know. It just felt like a failure. So I am worried. It is something to worry. I don't think it's this game. I think it's overall, you look back on this and the end of last year and the fact that, to me, the biggest key is, what is a Gary Smith team known for? Building from the back out, strong defense. Yes, we have had players out. So we're on our third string center back and probably our second starting Jack, I would say, is our second starter, maybe not. And again, you can argue that. So sure, we're doing that, but this is still a Gary team. We don't just let in goals like this. So to me, there is a worry there. The fact that they dropped five after we've had two games where we're up 2-0 and let in two goals. You know, again, Miami might be a special case, but we did it against Galaxy. You know, last week we let in a silly goal against Charlotte. We definitely seem to be slipping in the back. And again, if this is going to be a Gary Smith team, there's one thing we have to do right, which is defend, because we're not necessarily going to get a ton of goals on the offensive end, no matter how many Hani's, Sam's you throw out there. So to me, yes, there is something to worry about, because if a Gary Smith team can't defend, we're nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, we could find ourselves way below the playoff line and possibly at the bottom, because we're not going to score 3-4 goals a game. We're just not.
No.
We're not going to score two goals a game. It's going to be rare that we're going to score.
Hani might drop a hat trick here and there against the Fire, but
maybe. Yeah. Maybe. So, with that comes my observation that all the good things we said last week about Alex and Drew and Brian Anunga, it's all out the window. It's almost like we cursed them because they played like garbage the entire night.
I would defend Alex. I don't know that Alex necessarily played bad. I felt like he played up to his usual self. He didn't have as much showing on the offensive end, but again, I don't think anyone did. But here's my question to you. On the broadcast, Twellman actually had a good point, and he mentioned that Drew and Brian are kind of similar players, and we all knew this. They are – I mean, Brian didn't come from the Red Bull thing, but he flies around with high energy. He tackles. He intercepts. They're not necessarily creative passers, but they're – disruptors, they're active, they're all over the place. But in particular, he pointed out last night, he said it looked like they were trying to occupy the same space. And I agree. When we go back to the Mocha game that Drew did well in, and then the Charlotte and the Galaxy game, there were those forays forward where Drew was pushing forward with the attack. Remember, he even got a goal. Mm-hmm. He was doing different things. I couldn't tell last night if it was because of the way LAFC played or because of the way Gary was telling them to play, but I felt like they both played defensive mid the whole game. It's like he said, no, I want you to play both defensive mid, and we just don't have an attacking mid. Like, I want it to be a 4-2-3, but you know what I mean? Like, that had them both pulling back and being that defender in front of them. And it didn't work. So to me, I question whether, yes, it's a little bit on them, but I wonder how much of it was, I don't know if it's the LAFC dictating the pace or Gary coaching it, but it seemed like they both just shrunk back into the defensive mid roles and didn't do anything beyond that. And it did, it kind of crippled us.
Yeah. I don't take Twelman and I don't see eye to eye with him a lot. So
I know that's what I said, but he made a good point.
Yeah. The only way that that works is if Boyd was told to come back into that slot and become that pickup man for the connection, right? If Boyd's going to be your connector, all right, let's say that Drew and Brian were told to be defensive mids, then someone's got to come back. So it's going to be Hani and or Boyd coming back to connect the play, but they didn't. Boyd a couple of times for the first 15 minutes, and then that just sort of just disappeared. Right or wrong? Am I right or wrong on that?
No, I think you're right. I mean, I did see Hani drop back, and I mean, he does that occasionally. I mean, Sam did occasionally to get a ball, but it's not, I didn't feel like they played in that role. So I agree. Again, it's hard to say how much of it was how they were instructed to play versus just the match dictated it, and they felt like, just shrunk back and defaulted to defensive mid because they felt so overwhelmed by the press and by everything. But whatever it was, it didn't work. This is a game where I feel like, again, with LAFC, we've played them well before, but the keys were having Dax and Godoy out there because Dax was incisive with his passing, could open up windows, could find those little things to keep the ball moving forward. I feel like I saw so many times, not only did we do our classic back pass, but then we got pressed and pinned and we had to make bad decisions, and the bad decisions were what really led to it. I mean, that first goal, you can fault Joe for being out of position on the corner. That first goal was 100% on Drew's bad pass. They don't get a corner if he doesn't do that. If he completes the pass, we rotate around, we break out of it, and maybe they don't even score till who knows when. So to me, it was the mistakes that were made. And again, we survived a Red Bull press with minimal mistakes. So I don't know what it was about last night. It just felt like everything just felt off, plus them pressing caused really bad turnovers that just, it ripped us open.
Yeah, I feel like there's something to that. I want to, let's go back to Ben Wright, because he had a great question in the post game, and I think it presages more professionally what we're trying to ask, which is, how did we get caught unaware? Like, how did you not know that Los Angeles was looking to break out? I mean, or did you know, and this was the game plan you came up with, Gary, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And again, to me, I feel like this is a classic game where Walker makes a difference. Yes. I think everyone agrees. This is a game where Walker can affect that. Lucas and Walker both. And the other thing is, the other question I have is, and this is an uncovered question, I would love to hear your opinion, what's going on with the Lovitz Washington thing? Look, I love Taylor. I love Taylor.
But he's defensive.
I think you ask anyone on the street, Lovitz is a better right back. Not only that, people have been complaining, me included, that in the last two games, without Lovitz, we don't have a great corner kicker, and Hani has to do it. And so, Hani's automatically off the field for any corner kicks. I feel like I'd rather, this is my personal opinion. But I feel like you ask him, Dan is a better defender and does better things for us. Why did he not start? I get that Taylor had a great game last time, the thing, but to me, that's a weird, like, is that a coach? Was that a coach's decision only? Is Dan not fully fit for 90 and only 45? Like, to me, that put us on the back foot as well. I think you start Dan and it may have made some difference, allowed Tyler to roam forward feeling safer. But I feel like that's also different. I understand why Coleman was out there. It was Josh Bauer and Brett Coleman. That was it. That's all we had. Sure. I understand. And I understand why you pick him over Josh, because he's experienced. He's also bigger. Right. I can defend that all day to people. It makes sense. To me, the Taylor thing, I just don't know. On any day, Dan is better than Taylor. Why was he not out there? That seemed weird to me and, set off on a bad foot, because we did look a little bit better when he was out there. But I don't know.
Yeah, I think we go to Rangers and get Tierney as a left back. That's what I think. All right. Sorry.
Sure. Let me see where that is in the paperwork as to how we get that done.
All right. Let's. You know what? Let's just put all this behind us. You have any other uncomfortable questions? Like where was Hani the whole game? Any other thing else we want to cover?
No. That was going to be my last thing. Is are we? We did this last year. I think we've done it before. When Hani doesn't get gold, are we worried about Hani? Like, where are you on a like 0 to 5? 5 being panic button. He's having issues versus 0. Whatever.
If this was July, I'd be hitting the panic button. All right. If it's July,
since it's not, where do you fit on that 1 to 5 scale? Give me a number.
I'm at a 2.5.
Okay.
I'm at a 2.5.
I would agree.
I'm frustrated with Hani, but I'm not panicking. How about that?
Yeah. I will give you that. I would say a 2 sounds about right because he tends to be a slow starter. We've had issues getting all of our DPs on the field. And the other thing that I think that I wonder about is Tyler seems to be on an island trying to do things and no one else gets it. And so I really wonder, our starting trio up front is supposed to be Tyler, Hani, and Sam. And I feel like there's some mishmash where they're not all on the same page. I feel like when we've seen Jacob out there, it's worked much better with Jacob, Hani, and Sam. And so I wonder if maybe there's a little awkwardness between the two it's not working as well. But yeah, I'd say I'm at a 2 on that
scale. Yeah, and I normally don't put a lot of I always cast askance glance at some of the things that Gary says in the postgame. Mm-hmm. However, I'll give him the fact that he hasn't had his trio on the field at the same time for very long. And that is, you're seeing the problems with that, right? It takes time. It takes time to get Boyd, Mukhtar, and Suraj in the same, in that free flowing, just kicking the ball around like they were with Mocha in the first game where they were just playing with Mocha. It was ridiculous. And you could see what we want to do as a team. And you just don't have that yet. And especially against a quality team like LAFC, who is, like I said, they were going to break out. They came to
it
win.
It was a trap game. It was a bit of a trap game. I get you on that. Yeah, I support it.
All right, let's talk about some stats.
Okay, so a couple interesting one things. We actually had more possession in that game, oddly enough.
Which was the problem. Again,
right, and we know we don't really. But here's a more telling stat, I think, that gives some credence to the injury thing. Jack Mayer's played 450 minutes. Shaq has played 405, so he's played all but 45. The next closest minutes from a center back is 270 at Lucas, nearly half of Jack's. In other words, outside of Jack playing every minute so far this MLS season, no other center back has played more than half. And after Lucas, it drops to Brent Coleman at 180 minutes. So in other words, we do have an issue with center back health. We have depth there and we are working, but there is an issue there. And so there is something to it. I'm not saying it's an excuse for all of this, but throwing that out there just for, the sake of the stats, it's something to note, otherwise the fun stat by Ben Wright, which I thought was just a cherry on top, is the negative 3.56 goal XGA. So expected goal difference between LA and ours was the worst we've ever had in 232 matches as a club. The next worst was also against LAFC when we won 1-0 in them in LA on decision day. Yeah. We actually had a negative XG differential, just got lucky. So there you go. Our worst expected goal differentials have both been against LAFC. This one was just far more significant and the actual goals also went in their favor. So,
All right, John, but more importantly, I need you to tell me who or what needs to get off your pitch.
So our middle schooler has a science project to do and they get to choose from a bunch of things. They want them to actually go through stuff. And so she chose the classic. What happens when you mess with the ratio of white to brown sugar and chocolate chip cookies?
Okay.
Always good. But of course, that means she was doing the work today, which means there's now 4 batches of cookies in my house.
Okay.
I've been trying to be healthy, do some work, do some better diet. You know what doesn't help with a diet? Is having 4 batches of hot, freshly baked chocolate chip cookies and then being required to be a taste tester to give input and feedback on each of those.
Science isn't easy, John. If you don't want to, if why do you hate science? Like, here's my uncomfortable question.
I don't hate science. I'm just complaining. However, that
I don't
is
know.
Not
Sounds like you
card.
Do.
That is not my card. My red card goes to the NCAA selection tournament committee because they left out Indiana State. And as you may or may not know, because I think I told you, that means we did not get to see Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but they nicknamed him Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. His name is Robbie Avila. He plays for Indiana State. And he wears, you know, corrective vision goggles, but he looks like Kareem, hence the things. But watching him play is a beautiful work of art because, like a certain other Indiana State legend, one Larry Bird, he's not necessarily the most athletic guy. He's not that big and buff. You know, he's not what you would picture from a D1 athlete, but he's got the skill. He's got that silky smooth stuff, and he can shake people off. And it is amusing to watch. I know I sent you a clip, and you watch it, and you're like, he shouldn't be able to do that, but he can. And Indiana State has won their last two games, are in the quarterfinal of the NIT, but we didn't get to see him on the big stage in the NCAA tournament because the selection committee sucks. So they can get off my pitch.
Yeah, I can tell you who needs to get off my pitch. So, of course, this last week in the EPL, that is the league across the ocean, has leveraged fines against my favorite club, Nottingham Forest. And now there's been this back and forth of deducting points, adding points back, and then deducting them again, and then adding them back. The most corrupt,
like a recount in voting.
Yeah, no, but it's happened twice. But like you, it's not that I can't stand corruption. I can't. It's like I can't stand the math that's involved trying to keep up with the points and the appeal, and then you win and then you lose on it. But that's not what happened there. I'm giving a yellow card to that because, again, this is not a podcast about teams outside of Nashville. No, my red card is for that stupid official last night who took Sam's goal away. You know that hurt me personally. I don't think it was a foul. You know, I looked at it. How you call that, I'm not going to name the official's name by name, but we need to get professional referees back. We need to get that whoever that ref was that swallowed the whistle in the last 30 from the last game from the Columbus
match.
Yeah,
the guy who didn't care.
That's who we need back on the pitch. So,
well, and in that news, I know this is not technical traditionally this segment, but we'll drop it in. Supposedly, a new offer has been extended from MLS to Pro, and then Pro has to send it to the PSRA to vote again, which is the actual officials' organization union. So we may be near an end to that. Look for an update probably on next week's podcast because they may decide. But there's a small chance that this has been the last week with scab refs in MLS. Right.
We'll see. Let's take a break on our union news. Right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about our score predictions, how we did, upcoming matches, and what we got wrong. Stay with us. We are back. All right, John. I do want to insert, because again, I'm 50% of this podcast, my Metro Minute is back. And who am I going to talk about but one Lipscomb's Sean Spicer serving up his first MLS goal with Toronto FC. I got to watch it live. It was a wonderful thing. I just love that kid so much. And it was great to see him celebrate with his team, getting his first MLS goal. Oh, sorry. As they say, opening his account in MLS with his first goal. So congratulations to Lipscomb's Sean Spicer. For number one, did you know that he went number one in the draft, John? Did you know that?
Yes, I did. Yes. And someone told me to keep an eye out for him in the draft. And it might have been
even when he was still a sophomore, someone told you to look out for him. But hey, you know what? What if someone else wanted to tell you, John, specifically about players at Lipscomb or other schools that you need to watch out for? How could they do that, John?
Ooh, well, they could reach out to both of us at GMP_pod on Twitter, or you could find us on Get Off My Pitch on YouTube.
All right, John. So let's talk about how we did in last week. All right. So my cynicism paid off 0-3, and the scoreline that you had predicted was a little more ambitious, 1-1 draw. Thoughts on your?
Are you sure? Are you sure I said that? I don't know.
Pretty sure. Well, we can go to the tape, but I'm pretty sure.
No,
I wrote it down. I wrote it down. I wrote it down on the dibbly doo. If you look down in the notes, it'll be on the dibbly doo. All right, John. Who are we playing next, and when are we playing them?
Well, interesting enough, Columbus is going to come to town this weekend. We are going to host them at Judas Park on Saturday. Yes, your grumble is generally agreed upon. It is going to be an interesting one because they are the reigning MLS champs. They are good. Now, they had a truly bizarre game this week against Charlotte, in which
very
they lost
strange.
Due to some refereeing decisions, giving a red card. I mean, in general, my favorite part is Tom Bogaerts tweeted out, they made them do the opening kickoff three times because they called them for offsides twice. Does anyone even call that anymore? I don't think anyone did that.
You mean outside of grade school? No.
Yeah. No. So they called it back twice. He joked, like, what are we even doing here in professional soccer? Yeah. So anyway, it was a bizarre game. The other thing is Wilfred Nancy was not there coaching. He was at home with illness, supposedly. However, as you know, he has done a great job of coaching them up last year and winning an MLS Cup with them. And so there's been rumors that there are teams abroad interested in him. And, you know, people, obviously him being out with illness is a little bit suspicious. So conspiratorially, people are wondering things. I don't think it's that time. I would presume he'd either leave at the end of the year, or maybe mid-year after the actual EPL season or the European season's over. However, he may not be back this week. I don't know. Who knows if he's sick? We'll see. But either way, Columbus is going to be a threat. I'm not necessarily looking to forward this game of how we did with LAFC because they can be a similar attacking force. And so this could get interesting.
Columbus is a very good team. My score line is pretty straightforward. It's a 1-3 Columbus win. I think we get a goal early, and then Columbus just comes back. So that's my prediction. What do you think?
I'm going to go with a 2-1 loss because I do think they're going to get their druthers. I think we score something either off a really crafty Hani move or maybe we finally break through on a set piece goal. Because we do have a tendency to do that. And I don't think they're quite as good as others at defending set pieces from what I've seen. So I think we can score something, but I do think we lose this game. And I think that it will, unfortunately, lead to the Gary out crowd being louder, which I understand, but it's far too premature that. But it's gonna start some conversations, some uncomfortable stuff. So we will see. Mm. The big question is, will Schaffelberg be back? I would love to have him back because he does add a dynamic element to our offense. I think he should be available because I think Canada's done for now.
He matches up well against Columbus. They are not the fastest team on the pitch, so it would be a more advantageous matchup for us.
And by the way, shout out to Jacob Schaffelberg, who got subbed on and did score in the Canadian match against Trinidad and Tobago to secure them a place in the Copa America.
Copa America. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So anyway, shout out to Jacob for scoring for his national team, following very closely in the footsteps of one Alistair Johnson of his path from Canada to Nashville to Canadian national team success. So
we prepare the Canadian national team.
And admittedly, in a similar vein, Lucas, who was not on anyone's radar, was on their full roster of 60, got trimmed down. He was not called up to this camp, but he was on the initial big net roster, so he's on their radar as well. Evidently, while the Red Bulls in Toronto may be feeding pipes to Nashville, we seem to be a feeder system for the Canadian national team.
Yeah, I think we look for. I think we are looking. Our front office looks for talent in less traditional locations, right? That's where you see Godoy, Panama. You see Schaffelberg and, Alistair Johnson. Yeah, I think we just look in different markets. I like that. I think, I like that about our club. I like that about our city. So I like that. All right, John, before we close out, tell us what we got wrong.
Truth be told, with a busy week, I didn't get a chance to redo the VAR last week. So I apologize to everyone. There may have been other things. I know we did a VAR in-game last time, so we'll pretend it was clean.
Okay. Well,
sounds good. Gentlemen's agreement.
Yeah. On that note, we will thank you for joining us both here and abroad in Canada. Speaking of our good friends of the White North. And we will thank you for joining us next week as we talk about Columbus Crew. So until then, John, have a great night.
Talk to you next week.